Welcome to Keys to Health, Wholeness and Fruitfulness. We hope you'll join us on what we think is an exciting journey as we bring together truth from the Bible and wisdom from the medical world to uncover how to be healthy, whole, fruitful disciples of Jesus whose lives really count. In the 1930s, there was an ad that promised this: eat, 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 and always stay thin. And thousands of people signed up to add sanitized tapeworms to their breakfast. Now, would having a tapeworm that could grow up to 30 feet long in your intestine cause you to lose weight? Yes, it would. Why? Because it eats your food. Is it a good idea? No. In the worst case scenario, in fact, it could even kill you. Do you know, incredibly, if you go online today, you can still find people selling these tapeworms with the false promise that they will help you with inflammatory bowel disease. And the internet has brought a huge array of dubious cures written in pseudo-scientific language. If you're a little unwary, you can find yourself forking out large sums of money for something that maybe doesn't do anything at all, or in the worst case, could actually harm you. But, you know, to be honest, to me as a non-scientific person, sometimes legitimate science doesn't seem that much better. What experts tell us is good for us or bad for us seems to change with alarming regularity. And then there's the church. There's a whole lot about wholeness and healing in the Bible, but different people say different things about what it means in practice. And if we're honest, all of this leaves us with a little bit of a headache and a whole heap of questions. I wonder what questions you have for Jesus.
Why do we pray for some people and they never get healed?
Why does God allow suffering?
I've had a lung condition for many, many years, and I've prayed for a long, long time and never been healed. So I would like to ask Jesus why.
I would like to ask Jesus, how does it feel when believers try to alter the aging process with Botox and plastic surgery?
Jesus once healed a blind man by spitting in mud, rubbing the mud in his eyes. I'd like to ask Jesus what his attitude is to modern alternative health methods.
God was interested in the diet of the children of Israel. Is God still interested in my diet in my day today?
Should I throw my medication away and just trust Jesus?
I would like to ask Jesus, why is there so many neurological problems from autism to Alzheimer's disease?
Reading in the scripture, I found that Jesus never became ill when he was in earth. So I want to ask Jesus, what is the secret?
Well, we're going to try to come up with some reliable answers. Our aim is to put into your hands a number of practical keys so that you can become a healthy, whole, fruitful disciple and equip you to help others too. Now, as we go through the course, you're going to need a participant's guide like this one. You can look at our website for information on where you can get hold of that. And you'll also find details of a load of free resources that you can access as well. There are some apps available and some extra films, for example. Now, let's start by asking a fundamental question. What does it actually mean to be healthy? The World Health Organization said that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. And that sounds very sensible, doesn't it? But when you bring the Bible into the whole thing, we find that the Bible isn't concerned just with physical, mental, and social well-being. It adds a further crucial dimension, which is, of course, spiritual well-being. And we really want to help you work out how to be the person God created you to be across the whole of your being, spirit, mind, and body, so that you can do the things that God says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, he has prepared specifically for you to do. Now, I've had the privilege of working on this course with a team of Christian medical professionals, 4 doctors, a nurse practitioner, and a psychologist. Let me introduce you to 2 of them, Dr. Ifeoma Monier and Dr. Mary Wren, who today is sporting her DNA earrings. You need to watch Mary closely. She has this great range of medical earrings. If you want to know any more about these two or me, we've made a short additional film that gives you some further background, and you can just access that on our website. And Mary and Ifeoma, I discovered as we were working on this, have both been healed from similar conditions, but in strikingly different ways. So Ifeoma first. You were brought up in Nigeria. You run a medical practice in Abuja, the capital. Would you just tell us briefly the story of your particular healing?
So I was diagnosed with adenomyosis many years ago. This is a condition where the inner lining of the womb breaks through the muscle wall of the womb, causing lots of unpleasant symptoms. My consultant gynecologist at the time recommended a hysterectomy, removal of the womb. Shortly after that, I fell pregnant, so surgery was postponed till after the baby was born. However, soon after delivery of my baby by cesarean section, I asked God in prayer to heal me of this condition without surgery, because I just couldn't face the pains of yet another pelvic surgery. This condition, adenomyosis, doesn't go away on its own, except after menopause. But my symptoms completely went away, and I was very far from menopause at the time. A scan was done which confirmed it had gone.
Thank you. And so Mary is another medical doctor brought up in the UK, and she works in the health centre of a large university. So Mary, just tell us a little about the story of your really quite similar healing.
So I was diagnosed with something similar, fibroids, or overgrowth of the muscle lining of the womb. And these had been growing for several years. So I did all the things that I knew to do. I resolved spiritual issues that I had. I declared healing. I was prayed for. I was anointed with oil. I believed that God could supernaturally heal me. But he didn't. And they continued to grow to nearly 20 centimetres across eventually. So I had pain, bowel, bladder symptoms, and I was asking God what to do about it. And I just heard him whisper to me to trust the surgeon. So I went ahead and I had a hysterectomy where it was found that my bowel was stuck down to the fibroids. My surgeon had great skill in disentangling everything, and my recovery was amazingly quick, and I've had no symptoms since.
Isn't that interesting that on one occasion, it appears that God decided to override the laws of biology that he'd set up, and on another occasion, he said, go on, Mary, go and trust the surgeon. He used the skills of a medical professional. Both led to healing, and both, in their own way, are miraculous, don't you think? And I think as we look for answers to our questions, let's resist jumping to simplistic conclusions. And let's prepare ourselves for an element of mystery about this whole thing. You know, one key thing became obvious to us early on, especially working with this team of us, and it is that all of us have learned to see reality in a particular way. But crucially, the way we have all learned to see reality is different to how God tells us reality actually is in his word. And the worldview that we all developed is shaped by our culture, our education, our family background, our friends, the media we consume. And it leads us to look at the world, and in terms of what we're doing today, it leads us to look at health and healing in different ways. Let me try and illustrate that. Let's say you developed a chronic illness with no obvious cure. What course of action would you take, or what would you do first? Well, it would very much depend on your worldview, on when and where you were brought up and how you learned to see reality. So Ifeoma, You come from a place which has a completely different worldview to where I come from. Tell us something about the worldview that is typical in Nigeria and how this would affect the view of health and wholeness.
In Nigeria, and indeed the whole of Africa, most people grow up with the belief that our lives are controlled by a kind of universal power that runs through everything. So spirits in animals, spirits in plants, in mountains, minerals, and, you know, spirits of many types. So when you fall ill, you will assume that an enemy is afflicting you, and this illness by manipulating the universal power or the spirits against you. Traditionally, in order to sort it out, you will not turn to a medical doctor, but to a witch doctor or shaman. Someone you believe knows how to deal with this universal power and the spirits out there. We remember that between 2013 and 2016, there was a huge outbreak of Ebola in West Africa, and over 11,000 people died. A significant factor in the spread of the virus is that people trusted their animistic worldview more than they trusted Western medicine. So they refused to have their relatives quarantined, preferring instead to take them to a witch doctor. So many people died as a result.
It's interesting. Now, most people brought up in the West don't consult a witch doctor if they get sick. And that's because we have been brought up with a completely different way of looking at the world. And so, Mary, what have you come to understand as you've trained as a doctor about the worldview that is prevalent in the West?
So in the West, most of us have learned to look at reality in a scientific, physical sort of way, as though it's simply what you can see and touch and test. Our medical textbooks would say that you're just a collection of atoms and molecules and chemicals and wouldn't mention the spirit at all. So if we have a serious illness, then we'd go straight to a medical doctor and would have the expectation that we needed some tests done, and probably physical treatment, such as a medication or an operation. But research actually shows us that up to half of the symptoms that people report to doctors don't actually have a physical cause to them.
Well, let's bring the Bible in. Because according to the Bible, the material world is only temporary. It's the spiritual world that is fundamental, that will go on forever. But the Western worldview says, in effect, that the spiritual world doesn't even exist. Or even if it's acknowledged, it has no real relevance to our daily lives. So at best, if you come at it with the Western worldview, you get an incomplete answer. Now, let's be very clear. All of us believe that science and medicine is absolutely fantastic. There are discoveries made all the time that are incredible about how God's creation works. But let's also understand that what science teaches as fact today might well be overturned tomorrow when new discoveries bring a different perspective. If you want to prove that to yourself, go and dig out an old medical textbook from 30 years ago, and you'll see that what it teaches in many areas is quite different to what would be taught today, understandably. But when you take God's word, the truths there are timeless. And we need to get to the place where whatever worldview we've been brought up with, we learn we have to set it aside and give the Bible the highest place in our thinking and in our values, or we'll risk missing out on some amazing blessings from God. My wife and I came across somebody who, according to the received wisdom in the secular world, could at best be helped to cope with her condition. She had a condition called dissociative identity disorder, which is caused by abuse as a child. But in our small church, with a small team of ordinary Christians, she found complete resolution because of who she is in Jesus.
People would perhaps think I was being very moody, unpredictable, perhaps not very reliable. Perhaps they wouldn't understand me. And I was labelled with borderline personality disorder, sometimes psychosis, sometimes schizophrenia. sometimes perhaps just a little bit odd. But most of the time, I was an ordinary person with problems. I got to the point of feeling that I was never going to get rid of those images in my head and those voices in my head and those smells and the sights of the horrific stuff that happened to me. I was just on the end of my rope, feeling really quite resigned to the fact that I need to start seriously considering how I would end my life. Not that I'd lost faith in God, because I certainly hadn't done that. Having therapy of some kinds for 12 years, and I would say that from the start of meeting the Freedom in Christ folk and understanding the message that they preach and the truth of who God is and who I am in him, from that point to me being able to stand up and proclaim that I am free, it took me 8 months. I couldn't just live with this truth to myself. You just can't, this kind of bombshell of joy, just you can't just swallow down. I had to give it away. And so 10 years ago, I started Heart for Truth, a little ministry that began to explore how other churches cope with other people whom they really don't know what to do with. So many ministries, so many secular counsellors would say somebody like DID would possibly never really recover, certainly not somebody as damaged as I was. Well, I once was talking to a specialist in the field of SRA and DID, an international specialist, written lots of books. And I asked her whether in her experience of seeing many, many people, she'd seen very many come through to complete healing. And she thought for a long time about this and said, no, actually, she really thinks that some people believe in a delusion of happiness, but they're not really healed. And I told her about my story, and she wasn't convinced. She really felt that I was living a delusion, that I wasn't really well, that I just believed I was. And my delusion of happiness still working very well, thank you very much. Because, of course, it's no delusion at all. It's very real. It's the truth.
I just love that. It shows just what we have in our hands as Christians. Just imagine the impact we could make on healthcare costs around the world as we lead people to Jesus and help them discover just who they are and what they have in him. All of us in the team have concluded that the worldview we grew up with, whether Western, African, or something else, is at best only partially true. And quite a lot of it is wrong. And so we have come to this firm conclusion that the Bible is God's message to the people he created, and that it alone reveals what reality is actually like. There's a free video on our website if you want to explore why we believe that or why it's reasonable to believe that. See, the problem is, if we don't see reality as it actually is, there can be serious consequences for our health, just as Ifoma shared in terms of that Ebola example, or in the misconception that every illness has a physical cause that can be cured with a pill. So as we go into Keys to Health, Wholeness and Fruitfulness, we would like to invite you to make a conscious decision to throw off the worldview you grew up with and make sure that God's word has a more fundamental place in your thinking than what you've been taught by your culture, your scientific training, even, dare I say it, your theological education. Join us in coming humbly, simply to the Bible, God's message, and let's see what wisdom he would give us for our own particular situation and for our fruitfulness as a follower of Jesus.
One of the key facts that we learn from the Bible is that God created our ancient ancestors, whom it calls Adam and Eve. Now, Christians have different ideas on how exactly he did that. Some have no problem at all in believing in a literal seven-day creation, while others think he did it a different way over a period of a long time. It's fascinating that science confirms from our Y chromosomes and mitochondrial DNA that we are all, in fact, descended from one man and one woman. So when God created them, he gave them a physical body. But they were much more than that. God created them in his own image. And as God is spirit, we too, at the deepest level, are spiritual beings. So it can be helpful to picture ourselves in three layers. At the most fundamental, deep level, we're spirit. We also have a mind, emotions, and a will. And then we live in a physical body. Our outer layer, the physical body, is the most obvious, and so it's easy to think that it's the most important, or even the only important element. Western medicine focuses primarily on the body. It considers the mind and emotions to some extent, but generally ignores the spirit altogether. We've discovered that in order to have a true understanding of health, wholeness, and fruitfulness, we need to consider our whole person. So with that in mind, what does the Bible have to say about our health? Well, the Bible talks about two eras in which everyone is in perfect health. The first one was back when God created the world, and he declared that his creation was very good. Adam and Eve's spirits were alive and connected to God. There was no sickness. They didn't experience any negative emotional or mental issues, such as anxiety or depression, and they had perfect bodies. That's hard for us to imagine, isn't it? So when Adam chose to disobey God, there were significant consequences for him and for us. His spirit was separated from God, and he handed over his right to rule the world to Satan, God's enemy. And one way or another, all illness and disease, spirit, mind, and body, can be traced back to that point, which is why God sent Jesus, God's only son, to die in our place. Here's a significant prophecy from Isaiah, written about him many years before he was born. Surely he took up our pain or griefs and bore our sufferings or sorrows. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now we can either say pain and suffering, or griefs and sorrows. The original word carries both meanings. So we can say that Jesus came to deal with our sin, our physical infirmities, and our mental torment. And by his wounds we are healed. In the New Testament, over 100 times we find the Greek word sozo, which is usually translated as salvation. But it means more than that. It means more than just saving us from our sin. The word carries the sense of healing, deliverance, freedom, and wholeness. Jesus came to destroy all the works of the evil one, including sickness, disease, and death. He died and rose again for our wholeness in spirit, mind, and body. Which brings us to the second era, when followers of Jesus will be perfectly healthy. In the future, Jesus will return and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth with no more suffering. And we will have healthy new bodies that live forever. Right now, we live between those eras, after Jesus' resurrection, but before he comes again. Satan has been condemned and judged, but not yet imprisoned permanently. We live in the time between verdict and sentencing. The crucial question that we'll grapple with throughout the Keys to Health, Wholeness and Fruitfulness is this. What does it mean to be a spiritually alive child of God living in an unredeemed, unrestored world? So how does this big picture relate to us today? Well, some illnesses, such as malaria or tonsillitis, have a purely physical root, whereas others have a spiritual root, or a mental or emotional route. I really like my garden to look pretty and tidy, but I'm not very good at investing in it. So I head out enthusiastically in the spring and I pull up a few weeds and I lop off a few dandelion heads and I rake the mud around so it looks nice. However, a few days later, up pop the weeds again. Now I can keep lopping off those surface things, but if I really want my garden to be healthy, I need to dig deeper, work harder, and put in time and effort to get to the roots and pull them out. A lot of conventional medicine, and sometimes our approach to healing in the church, is like surface gardening. We treat the surface weeds by popping a pill, or rubbing in some cream, or even asking for prayer. And for a while it seems like we've sorted it out, but then up it pops somewhere else. For example, a lady goes to the doctor with indigestion, wind, nausea. Some investigations are carried out and stomach inflammation is diagnosed. Tablets are given to heal the inflammation and a good doctor would advise on lifestyle changes such as stopping smoking, reducing alcohol, less spicy food. And medicine in the West would often stop here after addressing the physical issues. But we could dig a bit deeper. And one of the most important skills that a doctor learns is how to take a good history. The story is always much more helpful than the physical examination and investigations. So we start to ask some questions to discover her story and find out that the symptoms started after a stressful time when her husband left her for someone else. She finds it hard to sleep. She feels anxious and exhausted, low and weepy. And the doctor may suggest some counselling, give helpful advice on how to manage the anxiety, how to eat and exercise well, look after herself, find new interests, and all this is good. However, we could go deeper still, and we could consider her spirit, the most fundamental part of her being. Now, this rarely happens in the surgery, and that's because doctors have not been trained to consider the spiritual realm. Might this lady be angry and bitter towards her husband? Be perfectly understandable if she were. But Jesus told a story in Matthew 18 to warn us that if we don't forgive from the heart, then we'll experience spiritual torment. So if indeed this is the root, when the lady makes the choice to forgive her husband from her heart, it's likely that the anxiety and depression will start to improve and the inflammation can heal. Something spiritual influenced the mind and emotions, causing physical symptoms.
When my son was born, I developed widespread eczema across my body. And for a couple of years, I had to use a lot of creams and moisturisers and antihistamines and so on and so on. But I asked God in prayer, what was the reason I've suddenly developed eczema? And I just found that my mind went to thinking about my mum who died when I was nine. She died of cancer. It seemed a bit of an irrelevant thought to me, but it was what God brought to mind when I prayed. And as I prayed into it more and asked God more about it, he showed me that I was carrying fear of whether I would be a good mum. I didn't have a map of my own childhood of what parenting looked like. And I also didn't have my mum around to come and help or to phone up and ask questions. And God showed me that actually he is the perfect parent and that I am good enough, more than good enough, and that he will show me and provide everything I need. And as I rejected the lie that I couldn't be a good enough mum and stepped into God's word and God's truth that he has created me and that he has called me to be a mum and that he will equip me and he will show me what to do. And the eczema resolved.
So physical symptoms can be a red flag waving to warn us that there may be something wrong at a deeper level. And medical research backs this up. Two studies found a significant association between the diagnosis of breast cancer and a behaviour pattern persisting through adult life of abnormal release of emotions. And in most cases, this was to do with suppressing emotions, especially anger. A similar link was found with bowel cancer in those who repress anger and other negative emotions. In 2014, the Harvard School of Public Health concluded that in the 2 hours following an angry outburst, the risk of heart attack increased nearly fivefold and the risk of stroke nearly threefold. Now, as with many things, the Bible got there first and also links physical symptoms with deeper issues. An example being Proverbs, which tells us that a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Proverbs is full of excellent health advice like this. In every session, we'll finish by giving you a list of keys to take home. There are 7, so 1 to meditate on for each day of the coming week. And you will also find some helpful additional material and exercises in your participant's guide to help you wrestle with the principles that we're considering each week. Here are the keys to take home for this session. 1, we tend to look at the world based on our culture, education and upbringing, but we need to learn to look at it as God says it really is. 2, all sickness comes ultimately from Adam's choice to disobey God and to trust Satan's lies more than God's truth. 3, Jesus died and rose again for our wholeness, which means more than just physical health. 4, being physically healthy is not a good enough end in itself. 5, God has a purpose for your life and specific things that he's prepared for you to do in advance. 6, spirit, mind and body issues can all affect health, and we need to consider all 3. 7, rather than just addressing the surface issue, we need to be willing to identify and deal with the root problem. In further sessions, we're going to look in turn at our spirit, our mind, our emotions, our will, and our body. And then we'll draw some conclusions about how we can become the people that God wants us to be and do the things that he's prepared for us to do. And we'll work out how we can approach seeking healing and wholeness in our own situations. Join us next time as we continue the journey and consider what it means to be spiritually alive.